Chapter 3. Workers in the Cause. Extracts from the Testimonies for the Church, 5. 721 to 729. As year by year the work extends, the need of experienced and faithful workers becomes more urgent. And if the people of God walk in His counsel, such workers will be developed. While we should rely firmly upon God for wisdom and power, He would have us cultivate our ability to the fullest extent. As the workers acquire mental and spiritual power and become acquainted with the purposes and dealings of God, they will have more comprehensive views of the work for this time and will be better qualified both to devise and to execute plans for its advancement. Thus they may keep pace with the opening providences of God. A constant effort should be put forth to enlist new workers. Talent should be discerned and recognized. Persons who possess piety and ability should be encouraged to obtain the necessary education, that they may be fitted to assist in spreading the light of truth. All who are competent to do so should be led to engage in some branch of the work, according to their capabilities. Much talent has been lost to the cause, because men in responsible positions did not discern it. Their vision was not far-reaching enough to discover that the work was becoming altogether too extended to be carried forward by the workers then engaged. Much, very much, which should have been accomplished, is still undone, because men have held things in their own hands, instead of distributing the work among a larger number, and trusting that God would help them in their efforts. They have tried to carry forward all branches of the work, fearing that others would prove less efficient. Their will and judgment have controlled in these various departments, and because of their inability to grasp all the wants of the cause in its different parts, great losses have been sustained. The lesson must be learned that when God appoints means for a certain work, we are not to lay these aside and then pray and expect that He will work a miracle to supply the lack. If the farmer fails to plow and sow, God does not by a miracle prevent the results of his neglect. Harvest time finds his fields barren. There is no grain to be reaped. There are no sheaves to be garnered. God provided the seed and the soil, the sun and the rain. And if the husbandman had employed the means that were at his hand, he would have received according to his sowing and his labor. Development according to law. There are great laws that govern the world of nature, and spiritual things are controlled by principles equally certain. The means for an end must be employed, if the desired results are to be attained. God has appointed to every man his work according to his ability. It is by education and practice that persons are to be qualified to meet any emergency which may arise, and wise planning is needed to place each one in his proper sphere, that he may obtain an experience that will fit him to bear responsibility. But while education, training, and the counsel of those of experience are all essential, the workers are to be taught that they are not to rely wholly upon any man's judgment. As God's free agents, all should ask wisdom of Him. When the learner depends wholly upon another's thoughts, accepting his plans and going no farther, he sees only through that man's eyes, and is, so far, only an echo of another. God deals with men as responsible beings. He will work by His Spirit through the mind He has put in man, if man will only give Him a chance to work, and will recognize His dealings. He designs that each shall use his mind and conscience for himself. He does not intend that one man shall become the shadow of another, uttering only another's sentiments. The source of wisdom. All should love their brethren, and respect and esteem their leaders, but they should not make them their burden bearers. We are not to pour all our difficulties and perplexities into the minds of others, to wear them out. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Jesus invites us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The foundation of Christianity is Christ, our righteousness. Men are individually accountable to God, and each must act as God moves upon him, not as he is moved by the mind of another. For if this manner of labor is pursued, souls cannot be impressed and directed by the spirit of the great I Am. They will be kept under a restraint which allows no freedom of action or of choice. The work hindered.
The Lord has shown me that men in responsible positions are standing directly in the way of his work, because they think the work must be done and the blessing must come in a certain way, and they will not recognize that which comes in any other way. My brethren, may the Lord place this matter before you as it is. God does not work as men plan, or as they wish. He moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. Why reject the Lord's methods of working, because they do not coincide with our ideas? God has his appointed channels of light, but these are not necessarily the minds of any particular set of men. When all shall take their appointed place in God's work, earnestly seeking wisdom and guidance from him, then a great advancement will have been made toward letting light shine upon the world. When men shall cease to place themselves in the way, God will work among us as never before. While extensive plans should be laid, great care must be taken that the work in each branch of the cause be harmoniously united with that in every other branch, thus making a perfect whole. But too often it has been the reverse of this, and as the result, the work has been defective. One man who has the oversight of a certain branch of the work magnifies his responsibilities until, in his estimation, that one department is above every other. When this narrow view is taken, a strong influence is exerted to lead others to see the matter in the same light. This is human nature, but it is not the spirit of Christ. Just in proportion as this policy is followed, Christ is crowded out of the work, and self appears prominent. The true principles. The principles that should actuate us as workers in God's cause are laid down by the Apostle Paul. He says, "We are laborers together with God. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." And Peter exhorts the believers, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ." When these principles control our hearts, we shall realize that the work is God's, not ours, that he has the same care for every part of the great whole. When Christ and his glory are made first, and love of self is swallowed up in love for souls for whom Christ died, then no worker will be so entirely absorbed in one branch of the cause as to lose sight of the importance of every other. It is selfishness that leads persons to think that the particular part of the work in which they are engaged is the most important of all. An outworking of selfishness. It is selfishness also that prompts the feeling, on the part of the workers, that their judgment must be most reliable, and their methods of labor the best, or that it is their privilege in any way to bind the conscience of another. Such was the spirit of the Jewish leaders in Christ's day.
In their self-exaltation, the priests and rabbis brought in such rigid rules and so many forms and ceremonies as to divert the minds of the people from God and leave him no chance to work for them. Thus his mercy and love were lost sight of. My brethren, do not follow in the same path. Let the minds of the people be directed to God. Leave him a chance to work for those who love him. Do not impose upon the people rules and regulations, which, if followed, would leave them as destitute of the Spirit of God as were the hills of Gilboa of dew or rain. There is a deplorable lack of spirituality among our people. A great work must be done for them before they can become what Christ designed they should be, the light of the world. For years I have felt deep anguish of soul as the Lord presented before me the want in our churches of Jesus and his love. There has been a spirit of self-sufficiency and a disposition to strive for position and supremacy. I have been shown that self-glorification was becoming common among Seventh-day Adventists, and that unless the pride of man should be abased and Christ exalted, we should, as a people, be in no better condition to receive Christ at his second coming than were the Jewish people to receive him at his first advent. We may have light from heaven. We are taught in God's word that this is the time, above all others, when we may look for light from heaven. It is now that we are to expect a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. We should watch for the movings of God's providence, as the army of Israel watched for the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, the appointed signal that heaven would work for them.
God cannot glorify his name through his people while they are leaning upon man and making flesh their arm. Their present state of weakness will continue until Christ alone shall be exalted, until, with John the Baptist, they shall say from a humble and reverent heart, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Words have been given me to speak to the people of God. Lift him up, the man of Calvary. Let humanity stand back that all may behold him in whom their hopes of eternal life are centered. Says the prophet Isaiah, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Let the church and the world look upon their Redeemer. Let every voice proclaim with John, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." It is to the thirsty soul that the fountain of living waters is opened. God declares, "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground." The souls that are earnestly seeking for light, and that accept with gladness every ray of divine illumination from his holy word, to such alone light will be given. It is through these souls that God will reveal that light and power which will lighten the whole earth with his glory. In humility and faith. Special instruction has been given me for God's people, for perilous times are upon us. In the world, destruction and violence are increasing. In the church, manpower is gaining the ascendancy. Those who have been chosen to occupy positions of trust think it their prerogative to rule. Men whom the Lord calls to important positions in his work are to cultivate a humble dependence upon him. They are not to seek to embrace too much authority, for God has not called them to a work of ruling, but to plan and counsel with their fellow laborers. Every worker alike is to hold himself amenable to the requirements and instructions of God. Because of the importance of the work in Southern California and the perplexities which now surround it, there should be selected no less than 5 men of wisdom and experience to consult with the presidents of the local and union conferences regarding general plans and policies. The Lord is not pleased with the disposition some have manifested to rule those of more experience than themselves. By this course of action, some have revealed that they are not qualified to fill the important positions which they occupy. Any human being who spreads himself out to large proportions and who seeks to have the control of his fellows proves himself to be a dangerous man to be entrusted with religious responsibilities. Let no one cling to the idea that unless money is in hand, no move should be made that calls for the investment of means. If, in our past experience, we had always followed this method, we would often have lost special advantages, such as we gained in the purchase of the Fernando School property and in the purchase of the sanitarium properties at Paradise Valley, Glendale, and Loma Linda. To make no move that calls for the investment of means, unless we have the money in hand to complete the contemplated work, should not always be considered the wisest plan. In the upbuilding of his work, the Lord does not always make everything plain before his servants. He sometimes tries the confidence of his people by having them move forward in faith. Often he brings them into strait and trying places, bidding them go forward when their feet seem to be touching the waters of the Red Sea. It is at such times, when the prayers of his servants ascend to him in earnest faith, that he opens the way before them and brings them out into a large place. The Lord wants his people in these days to believe that he will do as great things for them as he did for the children of Israel in their journey from Egypt to Canaan. We are to have an educated faith that will not hesitate to follow his instructions in the most difficult experiences. Go forward is the command of God to his people. Faith and cheerful obedience are needed to bring the Lord's designs to pass. When he points out the necessity of establishing the work in places where it will have influence, the people are to walk and work by faith. By their godly conversation, their humility, their prayers and earnest efforts, they should strive to bring the people to appreciate the good work that the Lord has established among them. It was the Lord's purpose that the Loma Linda Sanitarium should become the property of our people, and he brought it about at a time when the rivers of difficulty were full and overflowing their banks.
The working of private interests for the gaining of personal ends is one thing. In this, men may follow their own judgment. But the carrying forward of the Lord's work in the earth is entirely another matter. When he designates that a certain property should be secured for the advancement of his cause and the building up of his work, whether it be for sanitarium or school work or for any other branch, he will make the doing of that work possible, if those who have experience will show their faith and trust in his purposes and will move forward promptly to secure the advantages he points out. While we are not to seek to wrest property from any man, yet when advantages are offered, we should be wide awake to see the advantage, that we may make plans for the upbuilding of the work. And when we have done this, we should exert every energy to secure the free will offerings of God's people for the support of these new plants. Often the Lord sees that his workers are in doubt as to what they should do. At such times, if they will put their confidence in him, he will reveal to them his will. God's work is now to advance rapidly, and if his people will respond to his call, he will make the possessors of property willing to donate of their means, and thus make it possible for his work to be accomplished in the earth. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith in the Word of God will place his people in the possession of property, which will enable them to work the large cities that are waiting for the message of truth. The cold, formal, unbelieving way in which some of the laborers do their work is a deep offense to the Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke,
in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. We are to encourage in one another that living faith which Christ has made it possible for every believer to have. The work is to be carried forward as the Lord prepares the way. When he brings his people into strait places, then it is their privilege to assemble together for prayer, remembering that all things come of God. Those who have not yet shared in the trying experiences that attend the work in these last days will soon have to pass through scenes that will severely test their confidence in God. It is at the time his people see no way to advance, when the Red Sea is before them and the pursuing army behind, that God bids them go forward. Thus, he is working to test their faith. When such experiences come to you, go forward, trusting in Christ. Walk step by step in the path he marks out. Trials will come, but go forward. This will give you an experience that will strengthen your faith in God and fit you for truest service. A deeper and wider experience in religious things is to come to God's people. Christ is our example. If through living faith and sanctified obedience to God's word, we reveal the love and grace of Christ, if we show that we have a true conception of God's guiding providences in the work, we shall carry to the world a convincing power. A high position does not give us value in the sight of God. Man is measured by his consecration and faithfulness in working out the will of God. If the remnant people of God will walk before him in humility and faith, he will carry out through them his eternal purpose, enabling them to work harmoniously in giving to the world the truth as it is in Jesus. He will use all, men, women, and children, in making the light shine forth to the world and calling out a people that will be true to his commandments. Through the faith that his people exercise in him, God will make known to the world that he is the true God, the God of Israel. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, the Apostle Paul exhorts, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I have been instructed to present these words to our people in Southern California. They are needed in every place where a church is established. For a strange experience has been coming into our ranks. It is time now for men to humble their hearts before God and to learn to work in his ways. Let those who have sought to rule their fellow workers study to know what manner of spirit they are of. They should seek the Lord by fasting and prayer, and in humility of soul. Christ, in his earthly life, gave an example that all can safely follow. He appreciates his flock, and he wants no power set over them that will restrict their freedom in his service. He has never placed man as a ruler over his heritage. True Bible religion will lead to self-control, not to control of one another. As a people, we need a larger measure of the Holy Spirit, that we may bear the solemn message that God has given us without exaltation. Brethren, keep your words of censure for your individual selves. Teach the flock of God to look to Christ, not to erring man. Every soul who becomes a teacher of the truth must bear in his own life the fruit of holiness. Looking to Christ and following him, he will present to the souls under his charge an example of what a living, learning Christian will be. Let God teach you his way. Inquire of him daily to know his will. He will give unerring counsel to all who seek him with a sincere heart. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, praising God in your daily conversation as well as in your prayers. Thus, holding forth the word of life, you will constrain other souls to become followers of Christ.